Radio Prague News. Labour and Social Affairs Minister Jaromír Drábek has resigned from office. The Cabinet is planning to take effective action against unlicensed production and sale of spirits. And the Dukovany power plant, which has come under fire for the type of fuel used, will remain in operation. Labour and Social Affairs Minister Jaromír Drábek has announced his decision to resign from his post in connection with a bribery scandal surrounding two of his closest associates, his deputy Vladimír Šiška and the head of IT Milan Hojer. At a press briefing in Prague on Wednesday, Minister Drábek said he did not feel guilty in any way, but was ready to accept personal responsibility for this development in order not to damage his party, Topo 9, further ahead of the regional and Senate elections. The Labour Minister reiterated his firm belief in his deputy's innocence, but said he was not in a position to wait for Mr. Šiška to clear his name in court. The Minister will leave his post at the end of the month. A Prague court has ruled that Deputy Labour Minister Vladimír Šiška, who was arrested and charged with bribery on Monday, be remanded in custody for fear of influencing witnesses. The head of IT at the Ministry, Milan Hojer, who was likewise arrested and charged on suspicion of having proffered a bribe and manipulated a public tender, has been released. The police have not disclosed any details on the case. The Cabinet is planning to take effective action against unlicensed production of sale of spirits. The Prime Minister has given experts from the Justice, Health, Industry and Finance Ministries a fortnight in which to produce new licensing regulations and control mechanisms, which would enable the authorities to crack down on bootleg producers. The move comes in the wake of a serious outbreak of methanol-related deaths from bootleg liquor, which estimates say makes up 20% of the spirits market. The government is also planning to step up the fight against alcohol abuse by minors. The Dukovany power plant in Moravia, which recently came under fire for the type of fuel used, will remain in operation, Euratom agency officials confirmed on Wednesday. The Czech Republic had come under pressure from some EU member states to close down the power station because it was operating on fuel made of uranium enriched outside of the European Union, namely in Russia. This runs against an EU agreement signed in Corfu in 1994. Euratom said Wednesday that although it was looking into the matter of other potential suppliers, the plant was in no danger of being closed down, and if no alternate supplier is found, then the matter would be closed. CES argues that the contract on fuel deliveries with a Russian supplier was closed before the country's admission to the European Union and accepted by the EU authorities. The Czech Republic is planning to more than double its quota in the International Monetary Fund, a move that should strengthen its position in the organization. Currently, the country's quota amounts to 1,002 billion special drawing rights. The finance minister's proposal, approved by the government on Wednesday, envisages an increase to 2.180 billion special drawing rights. A member country's quota determines its maximum financial commitment to the IMF, its voting power, and has a bearing on its access to IMF finances. The Confederation of Czech and Moravian Trade Unions has called on the public not to give their vote to the ruling parties in the upcoming regional and Senate elections. Trade union leader Jaroslav Zavadil, who has been increasingly critical of the centre-right government, said the centre-right coalition was negatively impacting developments in the regions, and any votes given to them would only serve to make matters worse. Trade unions predict a 2 to 2.5% inflation next year and have said they will strive for respective minimal growth in wages. The six Civic Democrat deputies who are vehemently opposed to the government-proposed VAT hike for 2013 say they will torpedo the government's austerity package for next year if a compromise solution is not found. A series of negotiations with the Civic Democrat leadership has not brought the two sides any closer to agreement. The respective bill is crucial for next year's state budget, and the Prime Minister has linked it to a vote of confidence in his government. Civic Democrats opposed opposed in principle to tax hikes claim that the money should be found by cost-cutting measures and through privatisation, but this solution has been criticised in view of time pressure. Prague's Ruzyně Airport will be officially renamed to Václav Havel Airport Prague on Friday, on the anniversary of the late ex-president's birthday. A special ceremony at the airport will also see the unveiling of an exhibition of Václav Havel photographs taken by CTK news agency photographers. A parallel photo exhibition is to open in London. The Czech Centre in New York will mark the occasion with a newly published English-language collection of Václav Havel's plays. Václav Havel died last December at the age of 75. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should bring overcast skies and rain, with day temperatures around 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, we report on the end of the line for a methadone bus by a Czech NGO which served heroin addicts to try and beat the habit. A new study examines the cost of domestic violence and how it impacts the state budget. And a little later in the program, we look at some toys and games on offer at a recent toy fair, as well as an upcoming games festival here in the Czech capital. We'll be talking to Libor Pešel of Albi Publishers in Marketplace. That's all ahead. The Czech NGO Drop-In, which helps drug addicts fight their addiction, has cancelled a mobile facility which had provided methadone for heroin addicts. The substance acts as a replacement for heroin, gradually reducing dependence. Drop-In had its center on wheels, a bus which provided the synthetic opioid for hundreds of users each day near Prague's main station. But the project, which lasted a mere month, was opposed by Czech Railways, as well as holders of the station's lease. The leading psychologist at Drop-In, Ivan Doda, said this.
Unfortunately, we had to cancel the bus because Grandi Stazioni maintained their interest had somehow been damaged. I don't really understand it. It's just the opposite. We attract those who otherwise might be shoplifting at the station's boutiques and draw them away.
The cancellation of the service was welcomed by the lease owners, who maintained they had registered a rise in criminality at the site. Nevertheless, the problem remained: how to continue serving addicts in danger of otherwise slipping back into heroin use. At the last minute, Prague City Hall intervened, allowing a provisional site where Drop-In has until now offered a free needle exchange in the street known as Karolina Svetla. There, methadone will be offered daily through December. For many, the continuation of the service is of the utmost importance, which this user confirmed for Czech TV. I need this to work all the time, he said, as long as possible. Jiří Presl, the head doctor at the Drop-In Center, meanwhile, said this.
These are patients who have signed a medical contract and are required to undergo therapy. They will take methadone wherever they are told to, so the new location won't be a problem.
The provisional location won't be operational for long. After December, it will transfer to a permanent address, Prague's Bulovka Hospital in Prague 7. Now, a new study by the Prague-based Profem looks at the costs of domestic violence to the state budget. The authors of the survey took into account the costs of healthcare for victims of domestic violence, as well as the expenses of the judiciary, law enforcement, and social welfare systems, and found that domestic violence each year costs the state more than 1.3 billion crowns. Jan Richter discussed the details with one of the authors of the study, sociologist Kamil Kunz.
The main objective of the study was to show the extent of domestic violence in the state budget. Another aim was to show how serious is the problem of domestic violence if you look at it from an economic point of view. And another reason was to show the hidden cost of domestic violence.
When you say hidden cost, what does it mean?
We don't have data how many treatments are provided, for example, in healthcare system. So it's these costs are hidden. We don't know how much they are. So our objective was to reveal, for example, cost in healthcare and in other social services.
When we look at the figure, 1.3 billion crowns roughly, what is it composed of? How did you calculate the cost?
We include all the services that use victims of domestic violence, and these costs are usually funded from public budget. So we found that the main cost, main proportion of cost is in the healthcare system. It's more than 545 million Czech crowns. And for example, in police, it's 32, and in state prosecutors, it is 7.7.
This is based on estimates, or how did you actually get the figure?
For example, the costs are derived from gross wages and the number of hours spent working on the case. In healthcare, it's the value of treatment, and in other cases, we use statistical data of government departments. For example, in police, we have how many cases were in 2010, and if we look at the data from Justice Department, then we know that there is also around 40 cases.
According to your statistics, around 40% of women aged between 18 and 65 have at one point experienced domestic violence in the Czech Republic. How does that figure, or perhaps even the costs, how do they compare to other countries in the region and the European Union?
I think the data can be compared only with caution. The difference in quality of data sources and different methods and different definitions give different results. For example, in Austria in 2006, it was 78 million euros. In the United Kingdom in 2001, it was more than 5 billion pounds. And if you compare these data, you see that the difference are huge, and it's a reason of different data sources and different methodologies, so it's difficult to say. We are, I think our costs are comparable with cost in Austria, but it very much depends on how we approach to our analysis.
In the Czech Republic, there was a study by the STEM agency that came out in 2006, and that suggested that in that year, there was 23% of the total population experienced domestic violence. And it was down from a previous study 5 years before that, which suggested it was 26%, the general levels of domestic violence in the Czech Republic. How do they compare to other countries?
From other study, International Women Against Violence Survey, it has covered around 30 countries. We know that domestic violence level is between 35% and 60%. If we look at the development of domestic violence rate, I would say the rate of domestic violence is rather flat in Czech Republic, so there is no development.
And that was sociologist Kamil Kunz, one of the people behind a study looking at the costs of domestic violence, the impact on the state budget. And he was talking there to my colleague Jan Richter. A quick reminder now, you're listening to Radio Prague, where, of course, you can also look us up on the internet. You can find all our stories there, past and present. The address to visit is radio.cz. Also, if you'd like to comment on anything you've heard in today's show or before, you can do so by writing to english@radio.cz. So please do write to us if you'd like to share your opinion or take part in discussion on the social networks, namely Facebook and Twitter. Now, though, we turn to today's main feature, which is Marketplace. Last weekend saw the third annual For Toys Fair featuring children's products, and that was held at Prague's Letňany. One of the focuses was highlighting creative and safe toys, from simple building block systems for toddlers to more complex games for kids. Teens also were included with the very latest in electronic consoles and interactive games. What are some of the latest trends? Ever more realistic video games, especially, in which players can take part playing their favorite striker in the Football World Cup or the Champions League, with little left to the imagination when it comes to graphics. One young man who attended the fair said this. The graphics today are really great. I like it. They're more realistic than ever. For example, if you're fouled during a football game, it looks natural. You never do a flip over your head. One of the most anticipated games this year is a new tablet console that will only hit the Czech market in late November. The cool thing about this console is that it shows something completely different than what is going on the big screen. You can view both at the same time. You can cycle through a list or choose options without having to click between the main screen. For smaller children, there are building systems using simple patterns which prove easy to connect, as well as all manner of toys encouraging creative approaches. By contrast, battery-operated toys reportedly took a big dip, far from the attractions they used to be. One of the big questions for toy sellers this year was the guaranteed safety of materials, proof, if possible, that plastic toys, for example, did not contain substances which could prove harmful, especially for younger children. The only 100% solution at the moment, experts maintain, is to buy domestic products that come with one of two official Czech certifications showing the products have been carefully tested and checked. As of next year, all toy products in the Czech Republic will have to come with at least minimal verification that they are chemically safe. And that doesn't mean other problems won't routinely be uncovered, especially when it comes to imports, which are the toughest to attest. Jana Jelinková is the spokeswoman for the Czech Commercial Inspection Agency.
Faulty products are often imports from China, where it can be difficult to track down either the distributor or the producer.
Now, if your kids are older and want a break from their computer screens, there is another solution. Board games, which have surged in popularity over the last 5 years on the Czech market. Families and other fans in Prague will want to mark down this coming weekend on Saturday, which will see the opening of the 12th annual Mind Games Olympiad, or Deskohraní, held at Prague's Tyršův Dům. Libor Pešel is games product manager at the popular games publisher Albi. When I spoke to him, I asked him what board games offered compared to other entertainment.
Simply the change, because it's something different from just sitting in front of TV or playing computer games, and you have to think about the game. You have to use your strategic thinking, and I think it's the main reason. And also, you play with friends, so it's some kind of socializing, I would say.
So it has that advantage over a video game, even if you're playing online against someone else, simply by the fact that it's face-to-face. How difficult is it to get new people involved? I know many people who are familiar with, say, classic products, things like Monopoly or Scrabble, but who are less familiar with hobby games. How do you reach those people?
Actually, I would say it's easier and easier, because the amount of people playing those board games is bigger and bigger. And actually, there are many new clubs, like board game clubs, and this is the best way to spread new games. And also primary schools and even secondary school, they have some clubs, and they also use games during the classes, so it also helps.
Now, as you mentioned there, games can help develop, for example, strategic thinking, tactical thinking, so it can be useful, say, in practical terms. Now, one game that is already getting a fair amount of buzz on the internet is the Czech edition of a game called Legends of Andor. Now, I haven't seen the game opened yet myself, but I've weighed it, and it seems like there's a lot inside. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes, definitely. Andor has lots of material inside, and it's really kind of necessary, because this is a new cooperative adventure board game. It is for two to four players, and you are a band of heroes that must work together to defend a fantasy realm from invading hordes. So that's simply just the introduction of the game, and as I mentioned, it's a cooperative game, so you have to cooperate together to reach your goal. And the theme is about fantasy, about the Andor, and you are about to fulfill the legends of Andor, and each legend gives you any goal you have to reach. So you fight with those hurdles and creatures, and you have to beat them to reach your goal.
Now, for people who may be less familiar, cooperative games have really taken off in the last few years. 10 years ago, there was only one or two. Reinier Kinsia's Lord of the Rings game, for example, was the first, I believe, or one of the first. It is really different, isn't it, in the sense that players aren't going at each other's throats, but they have to work together or they will lose.
Definitely. Definitely. You have to cooperate, otherwise you lose all of you in the game, so there is no other way to reach the goal. Just to cooperate and to connect your power and to think about common strategy to reach the goal. Definitely, it's really the same like other cooperative games. For example, Pandemic is also very popular in Czech Republic, and we launched this game a few years ago. So it's a similar system, and it's very interesting that even in board games, people are asking lots of about this. How can the game play against you? And the playing mechanism is really good, so it allows you really to play together against the board game, which sounds kind of strange, but it really works.
It certainly depends on the engine. One of the basic principles is that the game keeps adding pressure. Every card you turn makes the situation systematically worse. At least that's how some of the games work. How tough would you say that your new game is?
Actually, it has different levels. So that's good for players, because at the beginning you have some starter levels that some kind of tutorial that you learn how to use playing mechanisms and how to use your power and how to build a strategy. And it has several levels, so then the difficulty is more and more is higher generally. And that's the point. So it depends on you which level you will choose, which legend you will choose, and then the difficulty is made by this level.
And to finish with Desko Hrani, how important is that annual fair, do you think, for Prague fans of games?
It's definitely one of the most important fairs, I mean, this kind of fair for board games. Albi is as one of the leaders on the market is every year presented on the fair. So definitely we think that Desko Hrani is very important, and it helps also people to know about new games, about novelties, and it's a great opportunity to learn some new games, because all of the exhibitors, they have a promo team that will teach you a new game and will help you with the rules and everything, which is very important, because reading the rules is the worst, let's say, thing about strategy games, because, you know, strategy games has usually tough rules, and this is a great opportunity to learn some new games.
And that was Libor Pešl of Albi Games talking to me about their new release, Legends of Andor, and about Desko Hrani, the popular games fair, which begins this coming weekend. And that's Marketplace for this week. Marketplace, and I was talking there to Libor Pešl of Albi, the Czech games publisher. So my thanks again to him for taking the time to talking to us. For those of you interested in taking part in Desko Hrani, it's easy to find on the web. If you look up Desko Hrani 2012, all the information is there about events and playtimes and contests and the release of new games. So do look them up on the internet if that's your thing. I'm afraid, though, we are just about out of time. A quick reminder again, on the net, our website is radio.cz, but that's it for today. Otherwise, I'm Jan Wellinger. For myself and for all my colleagues here at the station, we want to thank you very much for joining us, and take care.